Okay, fine. So, I hope that the audience is quite technical, so for the next 30 minutes it's gonna be a bit more in the details, so I'll try to be as precise as possible. So 30 minutes is a bit difficult to see everything about Link, of course. But okay, so I prepared some slides. I plan to go very quickly through the slides, and then I'll make a demo and I'll give you a detailed explanation during the demo. Okay. So maybe just about me, 1 second. If you want to download the presentation and the application I'll show you, either you can do it on the BeWeek website, it's not yet in place I think, otherwise you can go to my blog. So if you type my name, Ace Kens, on Google, you'll find my blog. Okay, okay, so the agenda. First, an overview of the new data model and CAML 2010, so just a few words about it. SP-Link, so this is really on what the demo is based, and the demo. Okay, so server-side data model. I'm just talking about server-side data model because, as you know, there is also a client object model, so which also allows you to access the data. But what's new in 2010? The BCS, so there is a session about that, so it's to, let's say, include or interoperate with external data. Content types are still there, but still used, and you'll see during the demo that it's still a very important concept, let's say. Unique columns, so that's something new. Now you can define your list columns as unique, so like primary keys. List relationships, this is really something interesting now. So now you can establish relationships between lists and apply referential integrity. CAML 2010, so there are a few changes, mainly the fact that you can perform joins across lists, and of course the link provider for SharePoint. So this takes what I just explained. Okay, so at CAML level, the schema itself has not changed. The new things are mainly focused on the joins. So now you can perform single joins, multiple joins, on to one or two or more lists. And there is a new concept also called projected fields. So it means that now you can include fields from remote lists or a joint list and include that in your results and then display the values of this data. Okay, you can do that directly in CAML, but also you can do it via SP-Link. Okay, so there are a few samples, but I'll pass that, so it's just in case you download the presentation, and I'll show that in the code later. Okay, so SP-Link. So this is really the main topic of the presentation here. So this is a new API that makes extraction of the CAML layer. So SP-Link still use CAML behind the scenes, so when you perform a link query, it will generate some CAML internally, and then it will return the results. But with the agility of Link. So it's like any other link provider, or almost. So it's very similar to Link to SQL. So it's very similar to that. And SP-Link includes SP-Metal. So this is a command line tool allowing you to generate your entities. You don't need, of course, to know CAML. If you only work with Link, the advantage is that you don't need to have a knowledge of CAML, so which was something sometimes more difficult in 2007. So because .NET developers know Link or are supposed to know Link, but they most of the time don't know CAML, and that was something that made sometimes the learning of SharePoint more difficult. Joins, so I put joins in red because it's supported by SP-Link, but you can't do any kind of joins. So I'll show you that during the demo. Lambda expressions, this is the kind of things you can do with Link usually. Efficient queries only, so again I put that in red because before Beta 2 you could perform any kind of query almost with SP-Link, but now there is a notion of efficient and inefficient queries, and now you can only perform efficient queries. So I'll show you that also during the demo, how to make it crash if you make an inefficient query. And then there is something very nice, is to handle the conflicts. So change conflicts is when several processes try to update the same data. Now you can handle that easily and act on it. Okay, So this is an example of use of SP metal. So you see it's very easy to use. So efficient query. So the concept of efficient query, it's just when a link can transform your query into camel. So if there is any other extra step required by a link, then it's considered as an inefficient query. So if you know camel, if you worked on 2007, then you know a bit what camel can do. For instance, an inefficient query would be a query where you apply for a group by expression, group by operation. So you can't do a group by directly in camel, you can't get the result returned and grouped already. So in that case, link will say, okay, it's not efficient. And you'll have to do extra steps yourself to do the rest of the job. So I'll show you that too. So actually, an efficient query is just a query that can be translated directly into camel by SP-Link. So this is an example. I'll show you that during the demo. Inefficient query, it's when extra steps are required to return your results. So for example, a group by operation. Before it was supported, so SP-Link did translate your query in camel, and then after it got the result, it also applied the group by operation, and then it returned the result grouped already. So now it can't do that anymore. Okay, so extra steps are required before returning the elements. Okay, so this is an inefficient query. It was supported in the past, indeed, before beta 2, and it's not supported anymore. So now you need to switch to link to objects if you want to execute inefficient queries. So here are a few examples, but I'll show you that during demo. And now this is also possible to handle change conflicts. And this is why I explained a change conflict is when several processes or threads try to update the same data. And if the data has been updated by another process since you acquired the data and you try to update it, then it realizes that there is a change conflict, okay? Because the data has been changed since you acquired it. You had that also in 2007, but you had just an exception, so it was more difficult to handle that exception. Here, you'll see that you've got several techniques to really act on the conflict. Okay, so I'll show you that later. Okay, so now let's go to the demo. That was the most important part. Okay. Wait, sorry, I'm a bit fast, but I had to go to the demo. Okay. So I made a small application that you can download on the BWIC website. Normally the screen should have been a bit bigger, but okay. So here it's a small application, a WinForm application that uses SP-Link and that contains a series of operations like simple queries, join queries, inefficient queries. So when I'll execute that, it will crash. It's done on purpose, and I'll explain you why it crashes. some camel queries also, directly in camel 2010. Some update operations, so we won't see that today because we won't have time, but okay, it's there. Some simple, let's say, write operations like adding a customer, adding a country, and the conflict handling. So I'll show you only the queries and the conflict handlings today. And the application also shows you what is generated in terms of camel by SP-Link. So when you perform a link query, it will show you what camel it did generate to perform that query. Okay, so I'll show you that. But first, maybe I can show you the site with which we are going to work. So it's a very basic site. I created a few lists, and there are some relationships between those lists. Okay, so for instance, here there is a relationship between customers and cities. So if I go to the list settings, just to show you the relationship, it's a bit small, settings. You see that there is a column called city. This is a lookup column, and it points to the city's list, and the relationship behavior is required. So it means that you can't delete a city that's referenced by a customer. Okay? And this is what is used internally by camel and by SP-Link to perform join between lists. Okay, so very basic site. So when you have such a site, the first thing you have to do to be able to work with link is to generate your entity classes. to do that, you can start, or you can use SP-Link. So if you start, for instance, the Visual Studio command prompt, you've got a new command called SP-Metal, and then you put, I will just generate it, but so that you see the kind of code it does. Sorry, you take the URL of your site, and then you give a code file name. So, for instance, sample.cs. Yeah, takes a while. Okay. So let's have a look at what it generates. So here it's really a auto-generated code. The thing you will always find is a main class that derives from data context. So data context is something you are familiar with when you work with Link, because Link to SQL uses also a data context. This is really the execution context of your Link queries. Okay, so this you will always find, and after that you will find other classes, and it's basically one class per content type, we could say. So if you have a website with one list and three different content types, you'll have at least three classes, and one class per base content type. So if you make a custom content type deriving from the item content type, you'll have two classes for that, plus the main class deriving from data context. So you can examine that on your own if you work with Link. So I'm not going further. Once you have generated the file, you need to attach it to your project, and then you can really start using it. So if I take the first example here, list customers, so it's really executed a Link query, which I will show you soon. And okay, it returned me the results. So here you don't see everything, but okay. And this is, for instance, the camel it did generate to return those results. So you see it's quite a lot of camel. And if we look in the code, it's very simple. So this is that method called here, list customers. So the first thing you need to do is to instantiate a data context. So as it's a let's say a generic member, I've instantiated elsewhere, so I will show you. Sorry, it's there. Okay, so the class is generated by SP-Link. I called it TeamSite Data Context. So now I'm instantiating a new TeamSite Data Context, and you have to provide the target URL. Once it's done, you get really the execution context for your Link queries. So something that's documented on MSDN already or in the SDK is that if you plan to make only read operations, you should put the property object tracking enabled to false to optimize the code execution, so to get it faster, because this is something that tracks the changes made to your object. So if you disable it, it's going to be faster. And even if you update, you should work with several data context objects. But this is documented in the SDK, so to think about that if you work with Link. Once your context is created, you can start using it. So, for instance, here I just list the customers, so coming from the customer list. The only thing I need to do is to retrieve the customer entity. So there are several ways to retrieve it. Either you can do it like that, either you can say context.customers directly, it's up to you. And then you start, you create your query. So this is a regular Link query, so nothing specific to SharePoint, but this is a new capability now in SharePoint. And then you can just fetch the result of your query and show them. That's it. One interesting thing maybe I can tell you is that if you work with folders in your list, you have to specify that you want to get the data from the subfolders explicitly. By default, it will only query the root folder of your list. So if you want to include the subfolders, you have to pass the root folder you want to start from, and to say is it recursive or not. And this is via the method scope to folder. Something interesting to mention now already also is that, as you probably noticed maybe, there is one entity per list. Okay, so it means that if you want to make cross-site queries, it's not possible via link. Okay, so what you did with SPSite data queries in the past still remains. So, or you don't do it, but you can't do it with link directly. Okay, this is something important to know. And then, okay, then it's just link. So maybe I'll pass directly to a join to show you how to perform a join. Wait, it's there. So there are two types of joins with SPLink. So there are what I called explicit joins and implicit joins. So for instance, here, I really make an explicit join. So if I, it's simply a join between customers and cities. And I show you that, okay, customer one lives in that city. So in the code, what does it do? If I go to my, you really say join query, okay. You get your two entities, so customers and cities, and then you explicitly say that you make a join on the city ID fields, which is the lookup field I showed you earlier. And then you just select your item. So you see, compared to Camel, before you would have been forced to extract the data from both lists, make some manipulations, and then try to return the results. So here you can do it directly, but there is a limit. So you can't use chained joins with link. So if you want to have multiple joins, either you switch to link to objects, so which I'll show you in a minute, either you use Camel, because with Camel you can make several joins in one single statement. Okay. So okay, so that's it for the join. And the implicit join, it's when you wait, I will show you that. For instance, here, if you have the same two lists, I didn't specify any join here operation, but I'm specifying a criteria on the city field, which is the lookup field. Okay, and if you look at the Camel that's generated by that, you'll see that it creates a join for you. So you see, so this is an implicit join and this is a left join, so not an inner join. Okay, but this is generated by SPLink for you. So there is a join operation, but you didn't do it. It's transparent for you. Okay, so this is the type of joins you can have with SPLink. Then you've got the inefficient queries. So that's something very important. And for instance, here I will run that. It will crash, or it should crash. Yeah, you see, so I didn't catch the exception, especially so that you see the code. And here it crashes just because I apply directly the group by operation. Well, I try to apply the group by operation via SPLink. Okay, so here I say customers, and then okay, I put a criteria, and then I put a group by on the returned results. This is not possible anymore. And something interesting to see, because I was too quick, is the error message. So here you see that it says semi-efficient queries are not allowed. Please set allow inefficient queries flag to of the data context to enable the execution. So before it was supported, before beta 2, you could put indeed that flag to true, and then you could run inefficient queries. It's not possible anymore. So the error message will probably be adjusted for the RTM, because of course it's confusing. Yeah? You think you can do something, but you can't. Okay, so it's not possible anymore. So now, how to do that? Either you don't perform inefficient queries, either you just switch to link to objects. So there is a full, on MSDN, there is a full list with operators and operations that cause inefficient queries to happen. Okay, so then I'll let you discover that on your own. But how to work around that kind of problem, if you really want to, it's by, I will make a search, by switching to link to object. So I make a search here, okay, yeah. So here you see, I gave some explicit names. Huh? So it's an inefficient query, but it's working because I switched to link to objects. So it's the exact same query as before, but between the where filter and the group by, there is a toList call. And toList converts the object to a list of objects, and then you switch to link to objects. And of course, with link to objects, you can perform group by operations. So, but it's less efficient than a query where you wouldn't use a group by. Okay, so, but this is the only way to do. So no, it's not possible to do it with SP-Link anymore, so far. So yeah, bear in mind that all I say, well, I say today is valid for beta 2, but maybe in 1 month it's not valid anymore. So I can't guarantee that it's still okay. Okay, and then here I just display the result. So maybe the last part is to see how to handle conflicts. So if I get back to my, sorry, I don't find it anymore. Ah, no, I stopped it maybe. Yeah, okay. If I get back to my application, so there are also samples of Camel, so how to work with Camel directly. Yeah, I can maybe show you an update operation. So if I say new customer, so the first execution takes a bit of time, but I will show you the code meanwhile. So I think it's add customer. Okay, so this is how you can just create, for instance, a new customer in the list. Again, you just create, let's say, an instance of a class generated by SP-Link, by SP-Metal, sorry. And then you just say, okay, for each attribute, you give the value. And there are several ways to do. This is a syntax, but you can also really use a regular, let's say, C-sharp syntax. Huh? And then what's important here is to see that you've got insert on submit. So this is when you want to add a single object, a single item. But you can also use insert all on submit when you have a collection of items to add to your entity. And this is the same for delete. So delete on submit and delete all on submit. And and that's it. And then you have to call the submit changes method to really commit, let's say, your changes. Okay. Maybe something interesting also is that if you want to see the camel generated as you saw in the previous examples, there is a property in the data context that's allowing you to redirect the camel. So it's just dot log, and you have to put a text writer, and then you get the camel output generated by SP-Link. So it's still interesting. Okay, so updating data is updating data, adding data, and deleting data is very, very easy, like you would do with a link to objects, for instance, or a link to SQL. Okay, maybe just now 5 minutes on the change conflicts. So if I get back to my application. So, okay, as I told you, a change conflict is when one process gets some data, another process gets the same data, updates the data, and then when the first process tries to update its data, SharePoint notices that this has been changed by another process, and it raises change conflict exception. So what I did to generate that is to create a multi-threaded operation so that two threads access the same data, the second thread updates it before the first thread tries to update, and this generates a conflict. So I will just show you that, for instance, here. I will check the data, customers. Okay. Okay, so I've got some H value here. So if I say that, I perform the update. You see, so now you can easily detect, I'll show you the code, that he detected the conflict on the column age, because I update the age. The original value was 45, so this was the value retrieved when we acquired the data. The database value was 34, because here the second thread has already updated the value. So you see, I put 33 as a new age. What I do with my multi-threaded thing is that the second thread puts the age plus 1, and it updated before the hand is back to the first thread. So that's why database value is 34, and I'm trying to set 33. So no, it's just detected, and I put a few samples to cancel, keep, and to handle multiple change conflicts. So if you make an update operation on several items. Maybe I will go directly to that one so that you see whole in ones. So I put, for instance, another age value. So you see for each customer, it tells me that it detected a conflict with the original values, new values, and so on. So here there are two customers. And I've canceled the change for everything. So now it should be 13 for all the customers. That's right. So if I go to the code, you'll see how you can decide to force your change or to abandon your change, cancel your change. So I'll show you that. Okay. It's that one. So when a conflict occurs, so it only occurs when you try to update data. So if you delete data, it doesn't occur. Okay, only when you try to update data that has been changed already. And then when there is a problem, it raises a change conflict exception. So when you submit your changes, you can decide the mode you want to use when a conflict happens. So you can say continue and conflict. What it does is to process all your changes anyway, and then it branches to the catch block when all the changes are processed. If you say fail on first conflict, then it will, as of the first conflict, it will branch to the catch block and doesn't continue with your other changes. And then the context object, data context object, has a change conflicts collection, and you can iterate through this change conflict collection and decide, for instance, to do whatever you want according to some properties, for instance. So here I'm working with customers who have been maybe more efficient to work with employees and say, okay, if the employee is a manager, then don't do the change or whatever rule. And here you see that I can catch the current object, so retrieve from the object change conflict to a business object, and then I can say, okay, if my object, the property of my object, for instance, here it's ID, but it would be, for instance, if employee that is manager, then do that or do that. So you can really apply rules. Then you can decide to resolve the conflict, and you've got several options to resolve. So either you can say you keep the current value, so you force the change, so you ask the system to put your values as the new values. Either you say override current values, so even if it's a bit confusing, because override, you would say, okay, then it's your values that take place, but it's not the case. So override current values means that your values are overridden by the values that were that exist already in the database. Okay, so that's it. And then you have to resubmit the change. Also, when you have multiple conflicts, you need to resolve all the conflicts before you can resubmit the change. Otherwise, you'll get another change conflict exception, so it's kind of loop. Okay, so that's it. Okay, so I think, I went quite fast, but okay, I don't know if there are questions about that. No, did you understand something? Maybe I was too fast. No? Okay, so maybe, okay, then I think it's enough. So what I encourage you to do is to maybe download the application. It's really a sample application, but it's quite easy to get started with Link and SharePoint via this application. You see the code, you can change it, and